WPF. We're going to be talking about this at Mix. I'm going to go find out about this from somebody who actually knows. Let's see. Who to talk to? Yeah, I think Carson will know. This guy definitely knows about WPF.
Don't look at my screen yet.
Carson! How you doing?
Man.
Sorry, I just walked in on you, but that's how I wanted to do this interview.
Right on.
So basically, we're going to be talking about WPF down at Mix in Vegas, and I really want to learn about it. So, you know, you're the expert. Let's talk about it for a little while.
That sounds good.
All right. So, who are you?
My name's Karsten Januszewski. I'm a technical evangelist. What else can I tell you?
All right, well, you're a WPF expert.
I work on WPF. I've been working on it for about 2 years now.
All right.
My main role is to help enable customers that start playing with these bits early. So those on the bleeding edge, I try to prevent the bleeding as much as I can.
Outstanding. So let's talk about it. Tell me a little bit about, give me just the overview of WPF.
Overview?
Yeah, for me, somebody, for a numbskull like myself. Tell me, talk to me.
WPF.
I don't really know enough about it.
All right. Three things if you want the, like, just hold on to it real quick, get it so you know what it is.
Thank you.
One, it's a new engine for painting pixels to the screen.
Okay.
Okay? So it's an engine underneath the covers that is developer designer. You don't even know it's there. It is actually doing the rendering to the screen of pixels. And it's a different engine. It's not... You might have heard of this thing called GDI, GDI Plus, that did a lot of painting. You might have heard of DirectX. This is a different engine, okay? So, it's a powerful engine, too. It's hardware accelerated, uses a graphics card, it's aware of different form factors, different types of monitors, and it does all kinds of powerful composition and rendering, like of any kind of UI you can imagine. And you're like, video, 3D, 2D, animation, text. That's one. Two, it's a framework. So what's the use of an engine if you don't have a framework to use to harness the power of the engine? And the framework is, we've been working hard on it. Microsoft's been working hard on it. So it's really made for developers to write, you know, to write apps and do it in an intuitive way. But it's also designed for designers. We've kind of been left out of the equation often. So we're really designing this platform so that designers, you know, folks that typically are, you know, they aren't writing code, right?
Yeah.
They're thinking about UI, that they can take advantage of this, the power of this platform.
Excellent.
And the third thing is that it's not just in isolation. So this all this UI engine and framework, it isn't just some separate Microsoft thing that's disconnected from the rest of our story. Mm-hmm. It's part of the .NET framework. All of the .NET frameworks available to you, all the other goodness in WinFX, like Windows Communication Foundation, and all that stuff. So it's a whole story.
Excellent. True story.
It's a, yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So what excites you the most about WPF?
The thing, now that I've been working with a lot of companies who've been building prototypes, and I've watched what the community's been doing, the thing that excites me is that there aren't the limits you used to have with other UI technologies, where you thought, I'd really like to do X, but you just couldn't do it, whether the technology didn't support it or you just knew it would be so difficult or take such expertise to code. It just wouldn't happen. And WPF, it's like, if you can think it up, you can probably pull it off.
Nice.
And people are doing some really, really neat things with the platform.
Outstanding. And we'll see a lot of that down there at Mix.
That's right. So,
cool.
Charles and I will both be there, right?
In the sandbox. You know it.
I'll be there the whole time. And more interestingly than me, a lot of the companies I work with will be there also showing some of their latest prototypes, showing their work, even giving sessions on what they've done.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So let's check some of the stuff out, huh?
All right, let's check out some demos.
All right.
What do you know? right here is actual Vista. Wow. So this is the February CTP of Vista. And see, here's a command line that I was just using. So the command line isn't gone away or anything. I still was doing some sort of, searching the file system using the command line.
Very good.
I don't know. Maybe
there's a way to do it.
Better way to do it in Vista, maybe, but do what works. Let's see. What do we got here? This is a good one. Not everybody's seen this demo. I don't think you guys have had this on Channel 9. But it does a great job of showing the power of this platform and how all UI technologies kind of at this common denominator. Mm-hmm. It's called 15 Puzzle. It was written by an architect on the Avalon team, or WPF team, named Greg Schechter. So the idea is it's a puzzle, right?
Yeah.
So like I can mix up these things, and these are just buttons. Mm-hmm. And I can try and figure out how to get the one, back into place.
Sure.
Right. Not too impressive. You could probably do this, Charles. You could probably code that up, right?
Easily.
And a little JavaScript.
Sure.
JavaScript, images,
handle some simple events, move exactly. things around using CSS. Yes, yeah, certainly.
So let's take this up a notch. This guy, here's a static bitmap, right?
Very cool.
You could probably, if you really tried hard, I bet you could code this. Use some like WinForms GDI image hacking.
Definitely a little more complex.
It'd be a little gnarly, but you could do it. But now let's take some static vector content. So here you got Avalon has a whole vector engine underneath it.
Well, let's talk about this. What's so important about vectors?
Well, vectors are pretty interesting things. Today in Windows with GDI and GDI Plus, what you have primarily is just rasterized bitmaps. That's what gets rendered by the engine. And the way Avalon works is it uses all vector math for rendering its content. So what that means is these are all, mathematically have a mathematical representation, which means you can do all kinds of interesting scaling and transforms, and you can get sort of the you aren't just dealing with these bitmaps, but you're dealing with actual vectors.
Okay.
There you go.
Fair enough. So you can zoom in and zoom out and not lose
exactly
the quality which you would in a rasterized bitmap.
Exactly.
Very cool.
And they're all together. So in this, you can see here, there's a bitmap back there.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got this vector ellipse over it with an opacity mask. And then there's some vector art back there. And again, this isn't the most impressive example of vectors. In fact, maybe we could look at a more impressive example in a second. Okay. But the point of this is here's some vector content. So let's mix that guy up, and it's the same underlying power, the power of this thing called the visual brush in Avalon that just knows how to take a surface and manipulate it. In fact, we can take that vector content, and it's kind of a hokey animation, but animation's totally part of the platform, so let's mix up this animated, clean on the eyes, but...
But the fact is that you split it up and it synchronizes the animation in different positions. That's really
still
awesome.
The timing engine's kicking and everything. The one that I like is the video. So everyone likes video, right?
Totally.
Video's first class citizen. And
now you're gonna split this one up too?
Let's do it, man. Shall we?
Yeah.
Boom.
Wow.
Yeah. This is a HD quality video.
Dude, that is incredibly cool.
So killer codec.
Wow. That is awesome.
And we got some other ones in here. There's document. So documents are super important in Avalon. We've got a lot of work going on there with subpixel clear type and a lot of typography innovation. Same deal though, it's just a visual brush. And here's a form, slider, list box, text box, button. Same deal. Because these buttons, and they're just made up of different vector primitives. Here's some 3D content.
Nice.
So this is true 3D, right?
Wow.
Yeah. And now all of this, I like this part of this, is we can go like this. This is the same technique being used by Vista itself to do kind of the alt tab. You know, so here's the old, well, this is also a different kind of view of alt tab, mm-hmm. but notice here that we're still getting this nice recursive thing here, right? So yeah. We're using the visual brush with an Avalon, and then the OS itself is using that same technique to give us a preview of each of our screens.
Very, very cool.
I've actually find myself using this a lot now, you know, because I'm an alt tab addict.
Uh-huh.
But now with this new view, the Rolodex view, I uh-huh. find myself, it's a Vista feature I'm really following.
Hi, my name is Carson, and I'm an alt tab addict. Hi, Carson.
Charles, we've been talking about doing this for so long.
I know. I can't believe we haven't had you on. I mean, you're right down the hall.
I know,
this
totally.
Is ridiculous, man.
All right. Should we show another demo?
Of course. What else do you have? How about that demo where I think I've seen it, but I might not have. I know I've seen a demo where you take animations and like you fold them over spheres and other objects. Do you have something like that?
Yeah, this is a cool demo. So one of the things that's great about Avalon is it has a true 3D engine. So by this 3D engine, you know, we're talking all the things you expect from a 3D engine as far as meshes and world space and model space and lights and cameras and all of that goodness. Avalon has an engine that supports all that.
Okay.
So this is a demo. It's a great guy, David Teitelbaum. We should do an interview with him sometime.
All right.
He's PM, but he's also a 3D, you know, kind of guru guy. So he wrote this demo. You got to watch. Get the camera trained here. So
it's trained.
Whoa.
Wow.
So I paused it for a second. So you can see we got this kind of trackball view here. Let's get it going again.
So he's
doing here is some nice mesh deformation on this tessellated plane, basically. So this is just a tessellated plane that he's then, you know, just doing a mesh deformation programmatically, and when I press the space bar, he's putting some physicus effects on there.
Nice.
And the plane itself has been has a material on it that's an actual Avalon visual brush once again. So it's taken some Avalon text content and used that as the material on. And notice it's opaque, sort of some see through down there.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So it's
so smooth too. Is there any DirectX going on here? Is that how he did the mesh work?
This is all Avalon.
Okay.
This is all.
So Avalon's not working with DirectX under the covers?
Well, whoa.
Nice.
It totally freaks out if you do that. So.
Very cool.
Well, so DirectX is deep under the covers.
Okay.
So in the sense that DirectX isn't there for. In the sense that you can program against it within Avalon,
mm-hmm.
but the Avalon engine ultimately mm-hmm. sends everything through the D3D pipe, the direct 3D pipe.
Okay.
Which is kind of funky to think about, because even the 2D content, even text, it's all using the power of that D3D pipeline
mm-hmm.
to render itself, as well as the 3D. But that's kind of low level.
So, but if you want to actually just, you know, go outside of Avalon and get down hardcore into DirectX, you can. There's an API you could probably download and use. They have a managed version of DirectX, right?
Yeah, there's DirectX, and then there's managed DirectX, and that's not going away, and it's great stuff, and you can write killer games with it. But the thing
but you
that
can't Avalon, do it in XML. Or
you can't use XAML.
So let's. You got any XAML? Let's write some XAML, Carson.
All right. Let's see. I want to see if I have one demo in here, just because I like this demo also. Yeah. I haven't even unpacked it. You're totally getting on the fly here, Charles.
This is perfect.
This is what Channel 9 is. All right.
Carson was not prepared for this, which is great. Because he's, you know. So what are you doing here?
All right. I just unzipped a...
Okay.
This thing here. So these are XAML files, actually.
Okay.
So these are, you can see it calls Windows Markup. Now, we should be able to click on this guy. This is going to fire up IE.
Okay.
And use the XAML viewer within Internet Explorer to show this. And these are actually were created by another guy right down the hall from you, Mike Swanson,
who wrote
the Adobe Illustrator plugin.
Okay.
And what he's done is he took the Adobe Illustrator sample files and then used his exporter to export that vector content into XAML.
Nice.
So you can see, you get some really... Let me open up another one. Here, this one's kind of pretty. This is all... None of this is... That is not a bitmap. That is all vector content right there. All being rendered with XAML.
Amazing.
Yeah. I mean, here, if you don't believe me, here, we can right-click and edit, This is all just... You would never write this, right? Mm-hmm. This is what you would... here. This is a... This is all generated by a tool,
mm-hmm.
but it's all XAML.
But the cool thing about it is it can be used in any application.
That's right. So your designer stays in this tool, creates this beautiful UI, and then just hands that over to the developer. There's no lossiness. There's no developer saying, how the heck am I going to build this as my UI?
Mm-hmm.
It's just literally, that is your UI.
Okay.
And there's existing tools that we're hoping, XAML will support, like, Adobe Illustrator or, the 3D tools like 3D Studio Max or Maya. Then we're writing a bunch of tools as well. Expression, if you haven't. Mm-hmm. You guys had Manuel.
Totally.
Showing Sparkle. You had anyone showing Graphic Designer?
Not yet.
Yeah, you got to get that on because that is kind of a vector art program like... That could create this type of thing.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Very
cool. Should we go bother Craig Jarrus and
let's go
the North Face thing?
Let's see. I don't know if he's around, but let's go see.
All right.
It's always fun to get a cameo with good old Jarrus.
Let's see.
Is he around?
No, he's not in here.
Ah, well, this is where he usually is.
Okay, hold on here.
Sure.
Let me fire this guy up.
So talk to us about what we're going to watch.
You're going to see... So if you remember back at PDC, we showed...
I'm going to come around this way because it's a beautiful day, but I wanted to make sure that we get you... There we go.
Okay. PDC, we had up during the keynote for Jim Alchin, North Face, showing off a prototype built by a company called Fluid. And we showed that at the keynote, and they continue to work on this, actually. So I wanted to show you kind of the next version or some new features within that. So I know we already had the keynote up on Channel 9, mm-hmm. and there was a white paper about how we built this, but I want to show you the latest.
Fantastic.
Okay?
Well, this will be great.
So the idea here is this is an app, the idea is a kiosk. So you've got, you're in a store, you're in a North Face store, you're about to spend a lot of money on some jacket or some product, mm-hmm. and you want more information about it. So, first thing is, here we are actually using the touchscreen monitor.
Those are all videos playing on surfaces.
All on 3D surfaces.
Nice.
Animating. So the idea is, okay, I can explore one of these guys.
Nice.
And the idea is these products I might be seeing in the video as I watch the video, so I can check out these different products, get a little more information.
Wow.
And see the product details on one. This is pretty slick. I want to get a better view on this guy.
Nice.
Yeah. Still got the videos playing over there in the background. You've got some more information here. And now they added this screen, which we didn't have at PDC, which is comparing similar products. So, which jacket is the right one for me? Oh, let me, what did that shoulder look like? What's that back of that jacket look like?
Very cool.
And I think, where is the... There's the barcode scanning works too. So the other idea is
while you're at the store, you should be able to just... I don't know what Craig did with it.
That's cool.
You should be able to just grab a hang tag as, whoops.
And scan it, and the information shows up.
Yeah, you just scan your product, and something shows up.
Very cool.
So that works. We just don't have a hang tag to scan it.
Bummer.
So what I like about this app is, you know, it's like...
Besides
that it's incredibly cool, is that it's putting all this power to use, you know, video, 3D, animation, you know, all these beautiful images.
Mm-hmm.
So it comes
now, let me ask you this. Could that run in a web page? So hosting XAML in a web page like we can do now, would that be able to run something like that? So like you could have, Bill was talking about in an interview we did with him recently, how it would be really cool to have sort of like a 3D virtual library where you could go and walk down a hall or stroll down a hall and touch a book and then it would come up and videos would play and whatever. Is that something that you could be done?
Yeah, there's nothing stopping you from running this in a browser. There's right there. The one thing is the getting the videos
streaming
down. You know, depending on the quality of the video. So that's the one thing where they have so many assets, so many just great assets. That's why they're designing this for a kiosk. Uh-huh. But their vision is, why couldn't this be on a web page someday when there's much more ubiquitous, you know, high-speed
internet
connection, and just video is just not even an issue to add that much type of high-quality, really high-quality video.
I could also see a use for it in sort of the future of television, right, with MCE, stuff like that.
It's all blurring together.
Very cool. Could shop on Amazon from your TV, your cool 3D environment.
There you go.
Very cool. Well, hey, Karsten, as always, cool talking to you.
All right, Charles.
And we'll see you in the sandbox in Vegas. March.
Sounds good.
Awesome, buddy. See ya.